ナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツ。
Please join me in Gassho. Gassho, お願いします。Not becoming lost in my greed, anger, and ignorance, I shall think and act with an open mind, just like the calm and peaceful Buddha.むさぼり、怒り、愚かさに投げされずに、しねやかな心と振る舞いを心がけます。心安らかな仏様のように。
ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ。
Good morning, everyone.皆さん、おはようございます。Thank you all for taking time out of your bean dip and、chicken wing preparation to、join us for our、service this morning. This is February is another important month as when we remember the life of the Buddha. We have a special Buddhist、celebration, Buddhist、observance perhaps I should say, that we'll be observing next week with a special guest speaker, Reverend Sala Sekia.Does anyone know what the special Buddhist service for the month of February is? Anybody know? It's not the Super Bowl, right? It's Nirvana Day. I heard someone say it, Nirvana Day. What is Nirvana Day about? What do we remember on Nirvana Day? It's a little bit tricky because there's Bodhi Day and there's Nirvana Day, and they're kind of similar a little bit.So what is Bodhi Day? Bodhi Day we did in December. That was what happened on Bodhi Day? What happened? Anybody remember? We're kind of quiet this morning. Bodhi Day was the day the Buddha became enlightened. Nirvana Day was the day that we say he realized parinirvana, which was he passed away. That's right. It was the end of his time in this world. He says when the Buddha realized parinirvana, all of his connections to this world were finally severed. He was finally fully liberated from life in this world of suffering and this world of delusion. So parinirvana is when the Buddha died. So the Buddha was a human being just like you and me, and every human being, as the Buddha taught, we're born and then one day we die. And the Buddha showed us the truth of this with his own life. And so this month we'll be reflecting on the Buddha's life, and next Sunday, Reverend Sekia will talk to us about Nirvana Day and sort of the significance of that passing of the Buddha, we say passing into parinirvana. Today I want to talk about what happened just before that, when the Buddha was visiting one of his disciples, a person who was very generous, and who very much appreciated the Buddha's teaching, and his name was Chunda. And Chunda's job was a blacksmith. Does you know what a blacksmith is? What a blacksmith is? Yeah. Do you know, Shoma?
Someone that makes things.
They make things, and what kind of things do they make?
Weapons.
Well, sometimes they make weapons. What are weapons made out of, usually? What are weapons made out of? Like... Metal, that's right. So a blacksmith is someone who makes things out of metal. So they might make weapons. They might also make things for mountain climbing. They might also make all kinds of different items made out of metal. So in the old days, this was a very important job. It's still an important job. But in the old days, a blacksmith was a very important job. But they were people who worked very hard. And in India, at the time of the Buddha, the society was divided into different levels.And who knows what the Buddha, what his family was, the Buddha's family. What did the Buddha's father do for a job? Does anybody know? He was a king, that's right. So he was kind of way up on the top of this society. And then there was the kings, and even above the kings, there were the priests and the people who did religious teaching. Then you had the kings.Then you had people who were merchants and farmers, people maybe who owned a lot of land or owned a lot of businesses. And then below that, you had people who were workers, people who made things, who worked very hard. And so at that time, it would be very rare for someone who was the son of a king, a prince, to then to spend time with somebody who was had a humble status in society, somebody like a blacksmith. And so when the Buddha arrived in Tunda's village, a place called Pava, when he arrived in Pava, he was walking through and he saw that there was a beautiful mango orchard. And he said, I'd like to stop and take a little rest. I think I'll spend my time here in the city of Pava living in this beautiful mango orchard. And so he set up residence there, and he sent one of his disciples to go and ask if they could stay there, if the Buddha could stay there. And lo and behold, that mango orchard belonged to Chunda. And so when the disciple asked, you know, the Buddha is here and he would like to stay in your mango orchard, would that be okay with you? You know what Chunda said? He said, the Buddha is here in my town and he's staying in my mango orchard? He says, yes, is that okay? Yeah, that's okay, that's great. And then he went and he visited the Buddha, and the Buddha shared the teachings with him, because the Buddha was very generous. He would share the Dharma with everybody. And so Chunda heard the teaching of the Buddha, and he realized that this teaching will help me live with peace of mind. This teaching will help me face all the difficulties in my life with calm and a peaceful heart. And so he was so grateful to the Buddha that he invited him over for dinner. He said, world-honored one, great teacher, will you please come with all of your disciples? Come over to my house for dinner tomorrow. And while Chunda had a very humble status in society, he was also very wealthy because he worked very hard as a blacksmith. So he had a lot of resources, a lot of money, and so he prepared a delicious feast for the Buddha. And in the sutras, it said that this feast contained foods that had a nice texture. It said it contained foods that were soft, and it contained a special dish made of mushrooms. And some people think that it was a dish made of pork. Some people say it was a dish made of mushrooms that pigs like to eat. Some people say it was a dish made of mushrooms dug up by pigs, maybe like truffles or something. But we think now that it was probably a dish made of mushrooms. And this was a very special dish. So on the day when the Buddha and all of his disciples went to Chunda's house for dinner, Chunda presented this mushroom dish to the Buddha himself. He says, this is a delicious, special dish from our area, from the city of Pava. So the Buddha received this dish and says, thank you. I can tell this is very special. All right? And then he had a couple bites of it, and he said, Pava, this is such a special dish that only one who has mastered the Dharma, an enlightened being like a Buddha, can eat this dish. So I thank you for your generosity. Now I want you to go bury this in the yard. Right? Said, all of this other delicious food, please serve to my disciples. Please serve to all the monks. And Chunda thought, wow, this is such a special dish that only the Buddha could eat it. And so he did as the Buddha described, and he went and he buried this dish out in the yard. And then after this, that evening when they got home, the Buddha, he had a bad stomach ache. He had a very bad stomach ache. And Ananda, his close companion, his cousin, said, what's wrong? The Buddha said, I think it was something I ate. All right, I've got a very bad stomach ache. And the Buddha said, you know what? Now is the time for us to journey and travel to Kushinagara. So they got together and they started traveling toward Kushinagara. And as they were traveling, they stopped very frequently because the Buddha said, I got to take a rest. He was so uncomfortable. He was so tired that he had to keep stopping and rest. Normally, the Buddha could walk for hours at a time without taking a break. But he kept having to stop and take a break. And he kept asking Ananda, bring me something to drink. I'm very, very thirsty. And so Ananda kept bringing him glasses of water, and the Buddha kept drinking water and resting. And finally, when they reached Kushinagara, the Buddha said, I see a beautiful spot between two sala trees. They're beautiful trees. And the Buddha laid down between those two trees with his head pointed toward the north and his face facing to the west, and the Buddha didn't get up from that spot. That's where the Buddha passed into parinirvana. But before the Buddha died, he said to Ananda, he said, Ananda, I have a message for Chunda, something I need you to make sure that you tell Chunda, because I know that I am not going to survive this illness. This illness is going to take my life. So I need you to send a message to Chunda, because people are going to say to him, Chunda, you gave the Buddha food poisoning. The Buddha went for dinner at your house, and then he got so sick from eating that mushroom dish that the Buddha died because of something that you gave him. So normally when you give the Buddha some food to eat, it's an act of great merit. It gives you lots of good karma. It's a wonderful act of generosity. But because your food that you gave the Buddha caused him to die, then there's no merit in this. The Buddha said, if people tell this to Chunda, he has to know that they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. Because there are two gifts of food that bring the greatest merit. The first gift of food is the gift of food given to a Buddha just before he attains enlightenment, right? If we remember the story of the Buddha's enlightenment, he became enlightened right after he received a special gift of food. Does anyone remember what that was? The Buddha got right before he became enlightened. Do you remember, Nina?
Milk,
that's right. And do you remember who gave it to him? No, does anyone remember who gave him that special gift of milk? Sujata, that's right. Sujata was a young girl, and she saw the Buddha there in the forest, very hungry, so she gave him a gift of milk. And this was a wonderful, wonderful gift. And it brought her great merit. It brought her many benefits in her life. Chunda also had given the Buddha a great gift, because the Buddha said the second great gift of food you can give to the Buddha is a gift of food just before the Buddha enters parinirvana, enters final nirvana. So Chunda, please know that this gift of food is a wonderful, wonderful gift. And I am truly grateful, and this brings you much merit and great merit. Right? So he passed on this message to Chunda. So this is a wonderful story about the Buddha, and it tells us how compassionate the Buddha was. What an open mind he had. This last few weeks, we've been talking about this second verse from our pledge, this special reading we've been thinking about and reflecting on this year. And it says, not becoming lost in my greed, anger, and ignorance, I shall think and act with an open mind, just like the calm and peaceful Buddha. So think about this. Has anyone here ever had food poisoning before? Yeah? How did that feel? How was it? It's terrible, right? What did you think about that restaurant where you got that food poisoning? Have you ever been there since? No, right? Right? You think, I'm never going back to that place again. I've had food poisoning once, many times actually. One time I got it when I was living in Japan from eating undercooked chicken, which was a local delicacy where I was living at the time. The chicken was very fresh, and so they would serve it tataki style. Do you know what tataki is? I see Mrs. Uramoto wincing. Tataki is when you just sear the outside so it looks fully cooked, but when you bite into it, it's raw, right? So I was eating raw chicken. Yeah, many of you are grimacing, right? And so many of you know that eating raw chicken can be very, very bad for your health. I learned this firsthand, right? And you know what I thought after that? Oh, that restaurant, how can they serve raw chicken? You know who else I was mad at? The person who brought me to that restaurant. Like, oh, why did they want to take me there? Why did they say, try this, it's our local delicacy, right? So I was filled with blame. I was blaming the restaurant. I was blaming the person who gave me the food. I was filled with anger in that moment that I had food poisoning. Right? I was thinking, oh, I just wish I didn't feel like this. I was longing for things to be different than they were. I said, I wish my stomach didn't hurt. I wish I didn't have a fever. I wish I didn't have to stay home from work. Well, maybe I didn't mind that part as much. But, you know, I was filled with anger. I was filled with greed, with wishing for things to be different than they were. Right? Now think about the Buddha. He's very different. not only did he get food poisoning, I had kind of mild food poisoning. I had to miss a couple days of work, but I was fine by the end of the week, right? The Buddha, this food poisoning kills him. He dies from eating this food. And what is his attitude towards Chunda? He says, thank you for your gift. Thank you for what you shared with me, your intention to provide me with a delicious meal and for providing me with the circumstances that will lead to my liberation from final entering a parinirvana. Right? So the Buddha has this very open mind. He doesn't get greedy. He doesn't say, I want to live forever. Oh, the Buddha is able to accept his circumstance. You know, what could be more free from greed than to be free from the longing for life, to cling to this life? I mean, we treasure this life as Buddhists. This human life is our precious opportunity. But the Buddha, recognizing his condition, his circumstance, he knew what was happening to his body. He was able to accept that with this open mind, thinking with an open mind. Then think about his attitude towards Chunda. No greed, no anger, but recognizing, having an open mind that could say, Chunda was just practicing good generosity to me. Again, thinking with an open mind. In this time in India, you know, people didn't always recognize that all beings, all people are equal, all people are equally precious. This is what the Buddha taught, but many people at that time thought, well, someone, a prince, a king, like the Buddha, is much more important, much better than a humble blacksmith. Why would the Buddha go and eat at a blacksmith's place? No wonder he got food poisoning, right? The Buddha didn't have this attitude. He had this open mind, the wisdom to see through that ignorance of his society in his day, to recognize that all people are precious and true. So Chunda had this wonderful encounter with the Buddha's compassion. He was able to meet the Buddha himself, personally, to receive this compassion. It changed his life, right? So in this month of February, when we remember the Buddha's life, we also recognize that the Buddha lived 2,500 years ago, the other side of the world. He lived far away a long time ago. And he passed from this world. He's not here in this world. I didn't get the chance to meet the Buddha personally. I didn't get the chance to receive Shakyamuni Buddha's compassion directly. But Shakyamuni Buddha had such great compassion that he left his teachings for all of us to be our guide. His teachings to sustain us so that we could encounter the truth of his wisdom. And among those, the most powerful teaching for me personally is this teaching of the Nembutsu, these words, Namo Amida Butsu, because in these words, I meet Amida Buddha. Amida Buddha is the Buddha here in the shrine, the Buddha of immeasurable light and life. So in these words, Namo Amida Butsu, I recall the Buddha's compassion. I think about this example of Shakyamuni Buddha and the kindness, the open heart, the open mind he shared with Chunda. And I feel this connection with that wisdom and compassion because Namo Amida Butsu is always with me in my life. When I recall the Buddha's compassion, his kindness, this open mind, this vast, broad heart that welcomes everyone, free from greed, free from anger, I feel this joy welling up in my heart comes forth in these words, Namo Amida Butsu. So I look forward to next week's Dharma talk from Reverend Sekiya, who will tell us more about this experience and the meaning of the Buddha's passing into parinirvana. Kind of in preparation for that, I'm reflecting on these circumstances that led up to that and this broad, open mind of the Buddha that we too are aspiring to emulate in our own lives. So thank you again for joining us this afternoon. I hope your afternoon is filled with joy, no anger, no greed, no ignorance. And you know, let us enjoy this day with a calm and peaceful mind, just like the Buddha. Please join me in Gassho. Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.
Thank you, Sensei.